Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on StandardRedCanada.ca. Norm Borg here, your resident harness racing nerd. I'm proud of it, I might add. We have got a mixed bag, you could say, on this edition of Trot Radio. We're going to be talking to a very prominent gentleman from Woodbine about a number of different things. We're going to look back at the North American Cup. We're going to talk about a recent and sensitive court case involving WEG and a member of the racing community. We're also going to talk about the work that's gone into the Queen's Plate taking place this weekend. We're going to shift breeds a little bit here. Not normally our custom, but after all, it is the plate. Nick Eaves is with me on the other end of my line. No time to have a North American Cup hangover, Nick. You're busy with the Queen's Plate, but how did it go? You must be pleased.
Well, Norm, we're thrilled with the way the Pepsi North America Cup went. We bet more than we did the year before, both system-wide. We were up, and very importantly, we were our wagering was up on track by just shy of 10%. So we were delighted about that.
What was the total handle, and what was the on-track handle?
So total, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but total handle for the card was about $3.2 million.
Wow.
And, or $3.25 million, and on track, I don't have the number, but okay. But 10% more than 2009.
Well, that, you know, the main thing is in three million and odd worth of betting dollars, yeah. and that's up from the time before. What I think is interesting is that this North American Cup did have some drama. You know, could sports writer rebound, right. but it didn't have one single superstar. Perhaps that's what attracted the bet because it was still a wide open field. But was it as big, say, as it was when Some Beat Somewhere was in it? Do you think?
I'd imagine, obviously Some Beach Somewhere went off at 1-9, I think, and that does not make for a very good betting race. So your point is the right one, that the depth of the field and the fact that very near any one of those horses could have won it made for a really, really strong betting race. So that was the primary contributor, I'm certain.
This next question may sound like I'm blowing bubbles, but it's been my perception lately that the crowds are getting better, not just at WEG, but at selected tracks across Ontario. There's no way to really gauge attendance anymore, but do you find that to be the case? Is there a perception that the crowds are there? Because I know I was tuning into Mohawk on the May 2-4 weekend. It was packed.
Yeah, certainly the May 2-4 weekend is always our busiest event. Fireworks are the busiest event, busier than the NA Cup. Yeah. So I would call that an anomaly. I would not say that crowds at Mohawk are up over last year. I mean, when we have a big event or when we have a promotion of some description, we can still attract a crowd. But I would say that on balance, crowds are probably mirroring what we're seeing in handle, which is year-over-year decline.
Interesting. I want to ask you about an issue that was raised by somebody I interviewed not too long ago who's done a lot of work with minor league baseball clubs and noticed the kind of, you know, you could call wacky promotions that they do that seem to work. Now, I'm not suggesting that Woodbine have, you know, some kind of a real tacky event, but clearly, we could learn a thing or two from minor league baseball in terms of how to attract a crowd without necessarily losing one's dignity. Are there any other kind of promotions down the road that Woodbine's got planned to help draw more people in?
I certainly can't think of specifics off the top of my head, but I absolutely agree with you that where there are examples of other leagues, other sports, other industries, implementing unique ideas that clearly attract a new customer. That's exactly what we as an industry need to be doing. Our Bet Night Live show, to me, is a pretty good example, and we've been both criticized and complimented for that programming change. And the truth of it is that was all about trying to do something which, you know, some people might politely call wacky, others would be more critical, but it's about attracting a new customer in a way that we think can be effective, and certainly that has happened in a way on those Bet Night Live programs.
I don't consider it wacky, you know, being an old-time racing fan. Obviously, that show isn't going to speak to me, and looking at it, it's a little bit like watching Much Music, but, you know, that's probably the demo you want to get. Now, let me ask you, for example, what would be so wrong if Mohawk were to have, let's say, and this is a page from the minor league book, a really awful night?
I'll explain to you what that was. A minor league ball club had what was called a really awful night where people came dressed up as something, anything really awful, whether it was an Elvis impersonator, Milli Vanilli, stuff from the 80s. They had what was called a Toxic Avenger booth where you could buy Spam sandwiches. A little beneath WEG?
No. I mean, the question is, does it attract new customers? And it may well have in that minor league baseball example. I don't think it's about ideas or initiatives or events that are either, you know, sort of above, beneath. I think we have to be creative in terms of new ways to attract that new customer. As an industry, we have not been all that successful lately in doing so, and I think it takes all kinds of ideas to do it.
The argument that the minor league baseball clubs make is that, look, none of these promotions have anything to do with baseball, and they don't care. It's getting people out to the park. In our case, we're just trying to convert new people to a sport. So you're saying that's okay, you'd be willing to try something like that, and you wouldn't mind if the buzzing sound you're hearing is that of E.P. Taylor spinning in his grave.
Well, E.P. Taylor knew how to build a business, and that needs to be our primary focus. And, you know, again, we need to make decisions whether it's, you know, across all fronts, whether it's a promotion, whether it's a pricing strategy, you know, whether it's a racing quality and quantity decision. We need to be making those decisions based on building a business, which, frankly, you know, in places is in decline. So okay. I think, again, we can't be silly. We can't be doing, you know, irrational things, but if we can attract a new customer, then I'm all for it.
Okay, two more things. One of them very brief, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to at least say no comment for now. We're reviewing it. That would be the Whelan case, in which the Ontario Superior Court ruled in favor of Jim Whelan and against WEG's access agreement portions, which they found to be in excess. Any kind of reaction at all, Nick?
Well, only to say that we obviously disagree. We're reviewing the decision. In particular, there was a very strong dissenting view amongst the three justice panel, which didn't support the two that obviously wrote the majority ruling. So we're looking at those different elements, and we'll certainly have more to say about it once we've done that.
Plans to take it a step higher in terms of the courts?
I'd imagine.
Okay, so this one ain't over yet. Okay. Do you think maybe you picked the wrong guy to have a battle with? I mean, Jim Whelan hasn't had the most cordial of relations with WEG as president of OHA.
Well, he's the only one who hasn't signed the access agreement, so he's the only one to have the battle, as you call it, with.
Okay, well, we'll see where it goes. This, of course, is a big weekend, and any fan of racing, whether you're on the harness side or not, you're probably going to tune into the Queen's Plate. Just curious as to what kind of preparations are in the works here, and you know, what would be the protocols and so on if somebody like myself was lucky enough to be there to greet Her Majesty. I can't say, yeah, I got a better chance of riding in the Derby, but anyway,
but
we'll
you
talk
might.
About it. Yeah, well, yeah, if that happens, then I'll be a walking poster boy for Nutrisystem. Yeah. Yeah, anything, what kind of works go into that?
Oh, we've been preparing, I mean, every year, obviously we prepare well in advance for the Queen's Plate, no matter who the guest of honor is. Preparations for this 151st running of the Queen's Plate began months and months ago, certainly when we learned that Her Majesty and His Royal Highness were going to be attending. That changed the nature of some of the preparations. Certainly, as you would expect, it has an impact on security measures. You know, one thing that's different than any other day here is that we're going to be doing bag checks at every entrance to the
sure.
To the building, and that's been required of us, and we more than understand why. So
yeah.
Certainly we've had to prepare for a higher level of security, and obviously with a royal visit comes a much different and in many ways bigger event, and we're preparing for that in terms of the crowd that we expect and the different elements of the day that we're going to be rolling out to make it truly memorable.
Well, one good thing about horse racing now being just below the radar screen, you don't have to worry about punks and anarchists trying to protest what they don't know. But it'll probably be okay from that standpoint.
Well, and one thing on that, Norm, I mean, it's been amazing to me, and it's just fantastic for horse racing generally how on the radar everything about this year's Queen's Plate has been. I mean, I think certainly the royal visit generally is getting more attention than it typically would. And what I found interesting is that each commentary, whether it's print or radio or television, they'll talk about the different stops on Her Majesty's tour of parts of Canada, and they make references to it. And almost every time when they mention that she'll be attending the Queen's Plate at Woodbine on July 4th, they characterize it as the highlight of her trip because of her love of the horse and her love of
right.
horse racing.
So
that's everywhere.
I was going to say, we're very fortunate as an industry that Queen Elizabeth has always had an affection for horse racing, has owned racehorses, and that can't hurt in terms of publicity. Now, I understand that Woodbine has on staff a protocol officer, as it were, whose job it is to make sure that those who are within the party know what to do, how to curtsy, how to bow, when to light up a smoke, all those kinds of things.
Ethel Mills is her name. She's been working at Woodbine and focusing on Queen's Plates for 45 plus years, and particularly this year, thank goodness we've got her.
Yeah, good timing is right. Well, good luck with it. We're all going to be tuning into the plate as we did the North American Cup, and there's more great racing action coming up at Woodbine. We'll look forward to it. Nick Eaves, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you, Norm. Happy Canada.
You too. Bye-bye.